CliffCentral.com. Yeah, good morning, everybody. We are live Thursday morning, and it is Phumelele Mashego, who is in her office. She says she's not going to infect anybody. Pumi was worried that she's got something. And, you know, these days, before you know it, you'll be put in a hazmat suit and you'll be dragged off to some camp where you won't be allowed to talk to anybody. So you've got to be careful, right, Pums?
Listen, do you understand the funniness you get? Just a little nasally, a little sneezing every now and again. People are looking at you like you've got the plague.
That's about right. That's about right. Yeah.
So I just keep myself out of those situations. Rather than like have my self-esteem hammered by the fact that I'm now just like, why are people looking at me like this?
Yeah, no, exactly. And you can't take a chance these days. It's too ostracizing. You know, people will. They'll want to get you out of the room. They'll stop talking to you. It becomes very uncomfortable. Very, very
they
weird.
They will shun you and look away.
Indeed. So there's quite a lot to get through this morning. Were you blown away and super excited and extraordinarily filled with hope and joy and you know, a rejuvenation and you were born into a new world on Monday when Cyril eventually told us who his new cabinet was. I know you were, because it changed everything.
Yeah. The man himself was so excited. He feigned illness.
Oh my God. Should we save this for the burning platform, or do you want to just get it off your chest now? Because I have a feeling this.
We have to wait for Canton. He is the one that's been waiting with bated breath for this. We have to wait for Canton. We're not talking about it until Canton comes.
I'm with you. Yeah, let's do that. All right, let's save it.
You know, this morning when I was getting up to come to the office, I was thinking about it, and I was a little bit sad that I only get to come on Thursdays, because so many things happen over weekends. Like 7 goals in one match, like Chris Rock, like by the time I get here, you all have spoken about everything. And I'm just like, now
that's
what
not
is
true.
There for me to talk about?
I was told I have to watch the new Chris Rock special, and I haven't yet. And I know it's I'm the only person in the whole of South Africa who hasn't seen it yet. So
I haven't seen it either.
I promise I will get onto it today, and then we can repeat the hits. And also, frankly, people want to hear your opinion on things, not just mine.
Who told you to watch the Chris Rock special?
Lebang.
I could have told Lebang that you're the worst person to give recommendations of stuff to watch to, because you don't watch them and then you don't come back and talk to us about it. Gareth, so infuriated.
Look. I move on very quickly. So once I've seen something, I kind of like, for example, remember I told you I was going to watch White Lotus season 2. In fact, I told you to watch it as well.
Yes.
And I only got 3 episodes in, and it's been sitting there in the queue, and I just haven't got back to it. So it just shows you sometimes stuff doesn't work.
Although it's like my TV watching has been, you know this, I do 3 things. I watch lots of TV, I listen to lots of podcasts, and I read a lot.
Yes.
All those 3 things need some kind of device or power.
Right.
And so the entire world has been thrown into disarray because the power issue is becoming like, that's what it is. But fear not, plus here. Fear not,
Sputla's here. So Sputla Ramakgopa, who is now a minister of electricity, he's the guy who's going to make all our trouble go away. But I see more and more people are just – this worries me, Pumi. This really worries me. Again, we can save this for the burning platform. But I see more and more people are just accepting, this is how it's going to be. And they're relieved and grateful when they do have power, and they're no longer angry when they don't. They've kind of – we've almost become like an abused woman who she's just pleased when her husband doesn't hit her, but she started to just accept when he does, which is awful. No. That's not a good attitude.
No, you must stay angry. You know, yesterday I had a very fascinating meeting, and one of the people in the meeting is somebody who had been, in fact, one of the last treason trials that we had in South Africa, kind of 1987, mm-hmm. and he was four accused, and he went on a hunger strike.
Yeah.
With his co-accused for it sounds mad to have a conversation with somebody who is explaining to you the mechanics. You know, we've read about hunger strikes, we've seen people on TV being like intravenously whatever, and he was one of those people,
right?
And he was telling the story of how kind of on day three you're no longer feeling hungry. On day one, you feel hungry. Kind of after 24 hours, you feel the hunger and your body kind of. And then on day two, you stop feeling the hunger pangs, but you start getting weak. Like your body is just, you don't have the energy, obviously. You don't have the energy for right. anything. And by day three, you're weak and can't stand up and also hallucinating. I was just like, yo, the shit that people have gone through to get our country to the, and the disappointment for him, the disappointment of how we've regressed. It's just, yeah.
Oh, he must, because, you know, when you put your life on the line and you're already on treason trial, which means in those days you would have been put to death, right? That was at the end of his story, ultimately.
And your child. And I think the thing we also kind of forget is how young a lot of people were.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Oh, booms. Looks like she's just gone. Oh, she's gone into load shedding. How irritating. Okay, well, I'm here. So we'll just wait for Pumi to come back on, or for... I don't know if they're generators. I don't know if there's electricity, but she's just, her power only came on at 6 o'clock, poor woman. And now she's back off again. So what are we going to do? I'm just amazed that, you know, the number of interesting people that Pumi knows. I mean, here's a guy who was on on death row and went on a hunger strike back in 1987 or whatever. And she's got such interesting friends. So I don't know if you listened yesterday to Martha Ngoyi, but also an amazing woman who stood up to corruption and stood up to all the nefarious people at PRASA. I just think, you know, when we complain about, oh, well, we don't have electricity or we don't have water, we've become so soft. And I know electricity and water are kind of basic things, but, you know, again, a generation ago, if you put these things in perspective, and by no means am I excusing the government. I mean, you know how I feel about this stuff. A generation ago, it was almost impossible for people to have like consistent running water and electricity. Let's say our grandparents. You know, I mean, my grandparents, I don't think when they started life together, they had any of those things. It was like post-war. I think it was a really tough time in this country. And I can't imagine that before them it was any easier. So I do think sometimes that we've become a bit soft, but it is amazing to me how Pumi knows these incredible people from all walks of life who've done these really, really tough things in their life. She's got a hell of a Rolodex. Rolodex. There's a word that you haven't heard since the 80s. Hello, Pums. As soon as I put her on, she's like there for a second and then she's gone. This is so weird. Ah, there she is. Hello, Pumilele. Sorry. We had you and then we didn't have you. Now we have you again. There we go. Hello. Testing, testing. Oi, this is not ideal. So anyway, somebody said here in the comments that I mustn't waste my time with the Chris Rock special, which is really, that's opposite feedback to what, here we go. The Chris Rock special's average, says Carl. Don't waste your time. Now that is exactly the opposite to the kind of advice I've been given by everyone else. Everyone else tells me you have to watch it. It's incredible. Derek says we're complacent and it's scary. It is scary. Very interesting interview with Martha yesterday, says Safa. Yeah, she's quite something. Congo Chris said people wait all day in a queue for 350 Rand and that's supposed to last them all month, Gareth. We're only two steps away from people waiting all day in a queue for a single potato, a la communism. Oy, yeah, I'm not complacent, says Slippery Pickle. I'm mad as hell can be, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Well, good. We need more people who are mad. We need more people who are going to stand up to this nonsense. The interview is fascinating. That was obviously yesterday's that you're talking about, Chris. Thank you so much. Gabrielle says, we're going to go back into the Stone Age, where we have to kind of dig a well. You know, everybody in the village has to get together and dig a deep hole that will then fill with water from the water table. And we'll put buckets down. It's not entirely out of the question. I mean, that could be the case. I was talking to somebody the other day. They're putting in a borehole. And I don't know what the legalities are around a borehole. And maybe some people who are listening to us will know. But if you can, you would, right? Even if it costs a lot to put it in, because then you can go off the grid water-wise, then you're off the grid in terms of electricity if you've got an inverter or solar or whatever. What else do you need to indemnify yourself against? How else can you protect yourself without having to rely on the government? I'd love to know what your ideas are in this respect, because everybody's thinking about it. A friend of mine supplies solar. Apparently, they have had 140% increase virtually month on month, 140% month on month since probably November and December of last year. So November was, you know, X level. December was 140 times that, or 140% increase of that. So 1.4 times that. Then January was 1.4 times December, and February was 1.4 times January, and so on through the year so far. And I mean, that's incredible. So if you're in the solar business, ka-ching, right? But it just shows you how people are, and people will spend money they don't even have. I mean, I see that the banks are also giving loans to people on solar and on inverters and things, because obviously the electricity being irregular means that they want to make your property more valuable, especially if you've got a bond. And there's no value in a property if you don't have solar. Not no value, but it's obviously less valuable. So in a country like this where you kind of want to go off the grid, and I mean, ultimately, if you looked at this from the big picture point of view, and not just from our own irritations and frustrations around electricity provision, ultimately, it's probably a really good thing that we're making more and more people who can afford to be independent. Those who cannot afford to be independent, I mean, you know, again, the poor get poorer. They get punished even more than everyone else. So what do you even say about that? While we're waiting for Pumi, a couple of news stories that are worth discussion this morning. And you can call us, by the way, if you want to get on the line, you can do so. 083-295-5769. That's the number you can get us on. 083-295-5769. I've put it on the screen, and you can jump on the phone right now if you want to and talk to us. Ah, here's Pumelele. How's it, Pums? Did you have another bout of load shedding?
This was the power coming back on and the generator going off. And like most old things, it takes me a few minutes to get up and running again.
Well, thank you. All right. So you were talking about this guy who was on trial for treason.
Yeah.
It's on a hunger strike. And while you were getting back on, I was saying to people, you know such fascinating people. Do you think that we've become soft when you talk to someone like that? Right.
Yes.
We've become really soft.
Yes.
We don't have the kind of fortitude that they used to have, right?
So I'm certain you have seen, like most of us, the revisionist history that we're seeing on Twitter, particularly, you know, South African Twitter. Lots of apartheid denialism, lots of...
apartheid denialism, is that going on?
This is the word from all sorts of people. And a couple of weeks ago, there was actually a thread where somebody said, you know, the 2000, AMA 2000, those are people born in the 2000s, want to rematch with apartheid because they think our parents were soft.
This is, I'll never forget, Pumi, this is actually a thing. The first person to ever use this terminology was a guy called Barry Ronger. You remember Barry Ronger? And he was famous for reviewing movies and all kinds of other things. But he was also a very good writer. And I remember I was producing a show for him when I hated being his producer because it was he did a show that I was not interested in. And, you know, he wanted these guests and those guests. And it was horrible. Anyway.
Why was Alan Ford not doing that? Because that's Alan's, like, life.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was. He took over from me. I don't remember. Anyway, I was Barry's producer for about 3 or 4 days. And while I was sitting talking to him, he was kind of thinking out loud. And he said, the problem with so many of the young people at that stage in the ANC that were not in the struggle is that they had struggle envy, which I thought was such an interesting way of putting it.
And yes,
when you talk about these guys and girls who are on, you know, they're on Instagram or on Twitter or on social media at the moment, and they're busy talking about how they would have done it better, and you know, Mandela was a sellout, and you know, all those leaders of the ANC didn't fight hard enough, and they would have taken up arms, and no, you wouldn't. You know, it's like a whole bunch of people. Listen. Everybody says, if I were in Nazi Germany in 1938, I would have stood up to Hitler. No, you wouldn't. You
These
big
are
puss.
The people who cannot live 30 minutes without Wi-Fi. It's like the level of their human rights being taken away. It's like, no Wi-Fi.
And yeah, so I don't see them. I mean, Julius is one of these people, right? Because he's always talking about, we will fight, we will fight. As soon as the presidential security guards pitch up in parliament, he runs.
Yay, Wenda. Tear gas. Do you know what? I never know what the thing is called that the old cops used to carry, like in winches. You know, it's like a short...
Like a baton?
Like a baton. It's like a baton. Like, can you imagine that? Can you imagine somebody clobbering you with that thing?
I thought about so I drove through the center of Pretoria a couple of weeks back, and it just looks like absolute shit. You know, this is our capital city, and I drove past a lot of those government departments that are around the union buildings. You know, there are all these buildings that are full of like public works and, you know, all these ministries that we've appointed new ministers for, but the buildings are looking disgusting and there's grass growing everywhere. And you know, the roads themselves are not looking in very good condition. And this is our capital city. It used to be, and I'm not being one of those nostalgic people, but people used to come from other places in South Africa and even the world to see these jacaranda lined streets. These beautiful buildings like the union buildings, the presidential guest house, the embassies, because there are all these beautiful embassies around Pretoria. And I just look at it now and I'm like, this is a disgrace. And I saw this week they've replaced mayor again. He's been deposed because apparently he was insolvent. So you can't trust someone who's been insolvent to run the municipality.
Be a councillor.
Yeah, so we talk about, you know, the electricity problem at a national level, the water problem, but we can't even manage municipalities properly because there's so much politics involved. Like, I don't give a shit what party the mayor of Pretoria is from. I just want someone who will make it look like things work and actually make things work if they can. I mean, if you go to the National Archives, which is an important building in South Africa, it's a place where we store all our records. You can go there and collect all kinds of interesting things from, you know, 200 years ago, if you need to, including every piece of legislation that's been published. You can go there and read newspaper articles. You can go and see what the government are busy doing in 1995 or whatever. And it's a really important place to keep everything together. It just looks like you know those abandoned places like during a zombie apocalypse where you half expect to see like the Walking Dead walking around and, yeah, and you like have
and this is so this game. Is the thing, right? All these like 2000s that are ready for a rematch with apartheid should like just congregate themselves and bring brooms. They don't have to like bring sticks to fight or anything. They must just bring brooms and bags and just pick up the rubbish and pull out the weeds and sweep the streets and just do that for half a day. I don't want them to do lots of things. I don't want them to bring down a government. I just want them, I mean, we can hardly get them to show up to vote, but I do just want them to just show up and do that. Just show me we can do just that, young people. Then we will trust you with the next thing of bringing down.
We won't put you on treason trial. We won't force you to do a hunger strike. We just want you to help us clean up, and we'll come and help you. Yeah. I mean, you know, all the other generations, if they see the young people of this country actually doing something instead of just saying something, everyone will join in. Everybody will. I promise you, people will come from far and wide to help tidy up and make this place better.
I don't want them facing down bullets or, you know, police used to also carry whips.
Shamboks.
The police also used to carry shamboks. Along with that little, is it called a donkey peel, that thing? Or is that just what they call it in the township?
It's hilarious. The donkey peel. I mean, like a donkey's penis. Yeah, it does look like that, though. It's like a baton. You're right. That's what it is.
Okay. So, because that's what they call it, a lokshini, right? They call it a that. Like, I don't want them facing down any of those things. I just want just that.
Yeah. Just that. It's not too much to ask. And then they can prove how brave they are just by actually making a difference.
Just let them face down the weeds and the rubbish. Let's start there.
Yeah, start there. If we can get that right, we can move on to other things. I mean, we always hear about how we've got, you know, almost 40% youth unemployment. Well, there's plenty of work to be done. And I'm fairly sure that if we could appropriate money for the pointless things that's, you know, so many government projects have apportioned money for, we could certainly put aside some money to start making our capital city a little bit better. All our cities, everywhere, all our townships. And by direct contrast, and I'm not saying this because they're a client of ours, but we did have Vili Foss from Waterfall City on Monday. Driving through Pretoria a couple of weeks ago and seeing what a dump it is, and then driving through Waterfall City yesterday and seeing how beautiful it is, how well it's maintained, how traffic is under control. You know, there are people thinking about things there. There's, you know, there's shops and there's Wi-Fi and there are people. I mean, Waterfall City is just, it's unbelievable what's going on there, because at lunchtime yesterday, the one restaurant that I went to at this new shopping center, which they only put up like, I don't know, end of last year, it was full. It was full of people. They're all sitting there. You know, very first world. It could have been, you know, Nice in France. But then you look at the center of Pretoria and you're like, this looks like the Central African Republic. It's just, it's worlds apart. And these are both two places in one country. And I keep thinking of Thabo Mbeki's speech of two South Africas all those years ago.
You know that there is a, I don't know if it's going ahead, because I saw a poster on one of the social, or somebody sent it to me, that it's supposed to be a national shutdown, like Juju.
20th.
It's supposed on the 20th, which is the day before the public holiday. So if you're looking for something to do with your long weekend, you can participate in that.
Yeah.
But and then I saw a poster saying it's been cancelled. But I don't know if it's...
Oh, really?
I don't know if it's fake news. We'll see. We'll see on the 20th. But I wish, I wish that's what he would, organize, right? So let's organize as... And we know he can do this. We know he can mobilize people in red T-shirts to do all sorts of things.
Hold on, Pumi. I mean, this is so lazy. So it's the day before a public holiday. So between a weekend and a public holiday, a lot of people won't be going to work anyway. A lot of people will take leave. They'll get away. They'll just stay at home.
So they'll be free to go
Yeah,
They'll
so
be free to participate in whatever he's putting together. What's wrong
is
with
that
that?
how you see it? I see it as a him like trying to claim credit for things that are just not open on that day anyway.
No, I just thought he's being thoughtful. People have already taken the day off. People are already available. So this is what they can do with that time. They, you know, I thought that was a well thought out plan.
Ricky says, whichever donkey supplied the donkey peels, very blessed.
Are they really blessed if that donkey peel is in the hand of the policeman and not on the donkey?
Well, you know, I mean, we talk about the police. I was genuinely, because you remember they used to drive around in those yellow buckies.
Yeah, it was called them. Yeah. I remember that.
Those were scary. When you saw those, you knew there was shit going down. Now, when you see the police, you immediately think, there's some dodgy business here, but you're not scared. Like when the police pull up next to you now, and I don't want it. I don't want a country where we're scared of the police, but I would rather have a country where the crooks are scared of the police than a country where everybody mocks and laughs at the police. And I feel like we're closer to the latter than the former. You know what I mean?
Yes. In the township where I'm from, there was something called a Mellow Yellow. Right, there was even a song about Mellow Yellow, like one of those struggle songs that people sang. And in Mellow Yellow, ne, I think that like a Casper or whatever. And it had, I'm not sure if they were police or soldiers, but this was a very common sight, and it was a damn scary sight, too.
It was scary.
Right? So it was very scary because you could be sure that there would be tear gas, there would be shooting. You don't know if it's... And I think I've told you the story of a very vivid memory that I have being about 10 years old with my friends and just running in the dust and the caspers and the all of that stuff. This is the reality of our country. But
no, you know, the 2000s want to complain about how they'd have done a better job. Hey, good
they
morning.
They can't even answer the phone. 2000s.
Hello. Yeah.
Morning. It's me again. Hi, it's Linda.
Hey, Linda.
I want to say something. My two cents, let's put it. You know, I have quite a few people that come from overseas often to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And, for the first time now, they find the country unbelievable. From Europe, and, you know, sometimes, and I'm surprised that they find the country unbelievable. Besides the water and the electricity and the roads looking the way they do, they just amaze how, they imagine how it was before and what it has become. Do you understand? I'm not born in South Africa, but I'm a South African through and through. And, I sometimes tell them you should have seen this place before. Okay, I'm not talking, forget apartheid, all that. I'm just talking about what the country itself used to look like.
Yeah, just we're talking like 10 years ago even.
Yeah. So, and they're still amazed. What amazes me is how amazed they are by the country. And imagine if they had, imagine if we kept...
Amazed in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah, they're blown away because actually they can't believe that A, things still work when they look the way they do, and B, that there's so much potential and that we're just sitting on
it. Exactly. And like you were saying just now, the lack of employment. Open more what you call home affairs. I mean, open more and give employment, people, give employment.
If they opened up in every city and town in South Africa, they opened up a government like satellite station where they would actually give people double their social grant if they will prove that they've cleaned up this block or this street or they've improved that or they've painted this wall or, you know, but they obviously have to, there's a list of stuff that needs doing in every municipality. And if they hand this list to people and say, right, if you do one of these, you get an extra 100 rand on your grant. Come back to us once you've done it.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, for as a taxpayer and someone who doesn't have time to do this stuff myself, because I'm out there, hope, and Pumi and you and everyone else, hopefully we're bringing in the money that fills the treasury, right? So I don't, I personally don't mind if we spent money on things like that. I'd be thrilled. I'd be thrilled to know that my tax money was going to that. We had the tax ombudsman the other day. This would make me happy. So let's do it.
How do I say, you're right, and it is scary to be so, let me take, what time do I have electricity so that I can go home or I can go somewhere else? I mean, it is, you want a cup of coffee in the morning, it is frustrating, beyond words. And the water story is even worse. So, wanted to say something.
No,
anyway,
I'm pleased you called. You're right. Listen, also, we always see ourselves, we always see ourselves as the worst. I mean, here's a cunning stunt with, just got back from Italy. You won't believe how filthy the streets of Rome are. South Africa is so much more than anywhere in Europe.
We have, sorry guys, here at the office, we can't get into serious, major, big discussions about the little things. I work in a crazy office. And we were talking about how our parents, so my, and Gareth, I'd love to know if you had a similar thing with your parents, where my mom would say, Ayla, so not here, right? So if you're out in the street and your friends are doing this and all of that is happening over there, that's fine, but not here, not in my house, not in this family, this is not how we are.
Yes.
And I feel like that's what South Africa needs to be like too. So Rome can be filthy. If they were to have a filthy, Rome can be filthy. Paris can smell funny, but not here. We should not be okay with that. We should not be okay with being compared with how bad other people are. So we're bad, but it's worse over there. No. Sorry, guys. No, we should definitely have a Ayla, not here. If that's how other people are, that's fine.
You always say that it's up to each of us in our own way to start this stuff, right? So famous mama says, we actually are doing it in our area. My mom is in charge, made a massive movement to clean everything up besides just running her business. But again, like this is where I say waterfall's amazing. We've got this, this kind of neighborhood group in our estate. I mean, I know estates are easier to run than countries, but you start with that. Make sure your own environment is nice and clean. And if you could sort out your own environment, who knows that you can't make it bigger and sort that out. Your circle can keep expanding. Seamus says the want everything for free generation has become a culture of its own. Well, that's also the problem is you want it and you want it now.
Yesterday, you mean.
Ricky says, have you ever been in Uitenhage? Yes, that place is filthy. No, I haven't.
I haven't been to Uitenhage.
And I'm in no hurry to go. I mean, I've never heard anyone say anything nice about Uitenhage ever. Ever. Sounds like it could be one of the worst places in the world. Gabrielle says, we traveled to Dubai in December, and even though it's man-made, everything works and it's absolutely beautiful. The best part of Dubai is the maximum speed on the freeways is 180 kilometers an hour.
Yikes.
And I can promise you they probably have less accidents, even though their speed limit is so high, than we have here, because people here are on their phones. They're not paying attention. They're driving unroadworthy vehicles. They don't have real licenses. And I'm pretty sure we have more accidents than they do in Dubai, despite that speed limit. Anyway. I mean, Shani says, this is interesting. Let's fill the town halls with exercise bikes. We can take turns every 15 minutes to generate electricity and fill batteries for the municipalities.
Wow.
Congo Chris, who is usually, very funny. He says this morning, people in this country have no self-respect and no self-discipline. It's really that simple. Not a day goes by that I don't see someone throwing a KFC packet out of a window. It's disgusting and disrespectful. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Uitenhage, I am also.
Here he is. He's living up to his reputation. He says Uitenhage is a septic boil in the armpit that is Port Elizabeth.
I think the people of Uitenhage, you must stand up. You must not allow yourself septic
That is
oil.
so
Yo,
funny. All
people of
right.
Utah, they don't allow yourselves to be called this. You must do something. Organize like street cleanup days, and you know. Also, it'll make, if we get to see each other more, it'll get out and, you know, see each other more, get to know your neighbors, all of that good stuff. Then
so
you know
put me
when they're strangers.
I want to hear what you think of this story, which is in the news, because we are going to squeeze a few of these in before we get to the burning platform. Protests,
yeah,
because
we didn't do the news last week.
Correct. Protests throughout institutions of higher learning have been spurred on by national issues and not institution-specific issues, and students have valid reasons to object. This is the consensus on the Department of Education's briefing that they held the other day with the universities and South African public colleges to the National Assembly. Despite this, the Deputy Minister of Higher Education, Buti Manamela, said that the department was concerned about the violent nature of some of the protests. The virtual meeting heard about students in the Western Cape assaulting educators and students in KZN committing acts of arson. And of course, we've seen some videos of this. Now, I wanted to know what you thought of this.
So, this is a very complex situation. First of all, these students see the way that South Africans protest. So how they behave is what they see has been allowed to happen. This is how all, like, service delivery protests, da, 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 this is why they behave in this manner too. But when the Fees Must Fall movement started all those many years ago, and Jacob Zuma, you'll remember, was the president, and he said, we'll make it happen, make free education happen. And Blade Nzimande was and is still the Minister of Higher Education. They did not really engage, begin to fix the problems, make a concerted effort. None of those things happened. And I'm going to call out the EFF for this. What they did do, these parties, the ANC, the EFF, and some others, they instead bought the student leaders who were the loudest tins in that entire thing, right? They have co-opted them. Naledi Chirwa is now what? An MP out there calling the president a small boy, and has forgotten. She is now comfortable and she has forgotten what it is that allowed her to get there in the first place. Many students are still getting excluded, financially excluded. Many students who were part of that fallist kind of movement who were not the ones on TV. What's her name also from the ANC, who is now actually the head of the portfolio committee on higher education, MP as well. Nice fat salary, sitting in government housing, gets a car, gets a phone, gets all of those things, and have not moved the dial. Not moved the dial in any way. Of course, right. This is going to keep rearing its ugly head. It is going to keep rearing its head until the government does something about it. This is unfortunately going to keep happening because nobody is listening or responding appropriately. And we should, as a nation, be making a decision about what importance higher education has in South Africa and what we're willing to invest in the future of this country. Germany made that decision all those many years ago. Higher education is free. And look where Germany's economy is as compared to many other nations.
Also, you know, this is something that I've been deliberately misquoted by certain people in the news this week for saying.
How else can we manufacture outrage?
Yeah, of course. If you listen to the whole of our show on, I think it was Monday, with Leanne and Craig Urbani, we were talking about these protests that were going on at just Wits in that case. But I mean, they've obviously spiraled out in other places as well. And, you know, at no point have I said that education is stupid and unimportant and that we shouldn't be sending people to university. But I did say we've got to take a much more holistic approach. We've got to look at what we did with those technicons, which we shut down. Where we used to teach
teachers training college.
Teachers training colleges. I mean, these are places that provided many people not only with unemployment, with employment, but also with skills, with the ability to enter the workforce and immediately make themselves useful. What about apprenticeships? What about people who want to go out and do immediately do work that can earn them money? And you look at the kinds of people who've made really big money in the last 20 years. They're not people who have jobs. They're people who create jobs. They're people who start businesses. And we have very, very smart, very streetwise people in this country who might not need a tertiary education degree in order to start something. They just need an internship or an opportunity in a small business or something like that. And they will flower. They will burst into bloom. And I think we're also fixated on this pipeline of higher education that people think once they've got that degree, they're guaranteed an income. I heard an absolutely terrifying statistic from Dion Chang, who was on our show on Tuesday. Listen to this, Bumi.
Oh, that was fascinating.
It was amazing. So Dion Chang, I'm just going to look it up. I don't want to misquote him, right? So Dion Chang sent this to me. He said, if it comes up again, this thing about higher education, he said, of the millions of people who applied for the 350 Rand relief grant during the pandemic, remember? 800,000 of those people were postgraduates with degrees. So what does that tell you? If 800,000 of the people who applied for a 350 Rand grant to help them through COVID were university educated postgraduate people, 800,000 of them, then the system has failed. Then there are questions that need to be asked of the universities. Why is it so expensive? And what are you actually teaching people? Like how can 800,000 postgraduate students or postgraduate young adults not be able to find jobs? That is a damning statistic. That on its own, forget about all the others. And then we're worried about like, you've got to get your place at university so you can study a degree in, I don't know, social.
But also now when you talk about all of those other, the technicons and the teachers training colleges and all of those other environments that have been shut down, what you've now done is you've also just shrunk the options that people have, and you've made the funnel, you know, you've made the funnel smaller of people. Yep. Now you only have whatever, 200,000 seats in first year in universities across the country. And now you have a million kids all competing for those 200 seats. But if you open it up and you give more opportunities in more spaces for young people to get into, you know, to get into higher education, to get further training, to get that. But, you know, how else do you create? How else do you create more bureaucracy? How else do you create more opportunities for consultants to make money?
Yeah, that's also a good point. Consultant. But Signet says quite rightly, we need a balance of all professions in South Africa. Doctors make bad plumbers and vice versa. Some are meant for trades, others for professional degrees. We need to push people into their lane. I think that's right. I think lots of people just have this idea that you are superior if you have a professional degree, which is not the case.
But this is why when I started the responses, it's a complex issue that's got many different facets. But all of them. And is Blade the person? Is Blade really the person to be thinking about all of those things? Is Angie Motshekga the person to be? The problem is not just when you get to university or when you are getting financially excluded. It's about the entire value chain. It's about early childhood development. It's about primary school. It's about foundation phase. It's about at every step of the way. You know, and are the people we have in those spaces thinking about these things? Are they thinking about them? Are they the right people thinking about these things? Have we got?
My head already hurts,
Gareth.
we've also got to be honest about the fact that for many people, university is just an escape from reality where someone else is paying your bills. And that is the case for so many people. You know, there are lots and lots of people in South Africa who are, they're sitting around pretending to study They're drinking every night. They are partying. They're staying for free in a res because they've got some kind of grant. Oh, hang on. Got a call here.
What is that?
It actually rings. So this is so great. It's ringing, but I can't see anything on the screen. This is very weird. Okay.
Turn off the ringer. You're going to like trigger the 2000s. They don't want to hear the phones ring.
Yeah. Just call us back. Sorry. And by the way, the line is open. That's why you heard that. You can hear it. It's all real. We don't bullshit you on the show. 083-295-5769. All right.
And what about WhatsApps? Can people send voice notes?
You could send. In fact, I've got a voice note here for you. This is quite fun. It's a couple of days ago, but take a listen to this. This is
Gabby. He just called.
Listen to this.
Hi, guys. I'm currently listening to the podcast with Serv, Gareth, and the Anne talking about Andrew Tate. And I just want to say, you know, I went to all girls school, so I consider myself partly feminist and, we have to move out of the kitchen. And it all changed when I had a baby boy. And I realized just how hard men have it and how much the responsibility of how men turn out is also how their moms raise them. So while I'm very conscious about, you know, women's rights and all that stuff, I'm very conscious about, you know, giving him the foundation. It sounds so sloppy. It's so difficult to explain, but yes. Mm. More empathetic to men's rights. And also, I used to joke around about man flu, only to realize you guys are actually born that way. So I don't joke about it anymore. Anyway, right. Love the show. Bye.
Very good. That's Gabby. Hey, you're on air. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys. Good morning to me and to Boston Records.
Oh, how's it? How are you?
Hi there, guys. I'm good, thanks, guys. How are you guys doing this
good,
morning?
Good, 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 good. Go ahead.
So I thought I'd just weigh in on this higher education thing because I've been on the tuition side of the stuff, and you really get to see behind the veil when you are actually carrying out the classes yourself. Mm-hmm. I know you and Pekile haven't always seen eye to eye. Mm-hmm. So he really hit the nail on the head last week. You said that NSFAS is not going to fund people to fail a third, fourth, and fifth time. And that's really just a massive weight on the finances of that.
So hold on. Fikile Mbalula said that NSFAS is not going to keep funding people to fail third and fourth and fifth time.
Yes.
Well, I couldn't agree with him more. I think everybody agrees with him, right? Except the students who've failed three, four, five times.
Exactly. And that's a massive problem with the student movement is that, firstly, a lot of the people that are protesting aren't even students. And then secondly, that the ones that are protesting are usually there for their fourth or fifth year and they have still been there.
All right. It's breaking up kind of badly, so I'm going to let you go. But yeah, I think we get the point there. And that's a point well put, right, Pumi?
But we must also be careful of blanket statements, right? So one of the things that NSFAS don't do is they don't fund kind of fourth and fifth year. But when you are now studying, and WITS is one of the culprits here, when you did the LLB route, mm-hmm. right? When you have a degree like an LLB where you have to have an undergrad and then that you can only do in fourth or fifth year. Now you have a different type of problem. You can't have a blanket approach to all spheres of study. And these are some, and that's why I'm saying it's a complex and very nuanced conversation that we're having. There are many moving parts in this, right? And those things have all got to be considered. You know, and I do agree if you're doing a 3-year degree and you're in your fifth year or your sixth year, then your problem is different. Your problem is not so much the money. Your problem is perhaps between the ears. Or maybe what you're studying. But what? All of these, but it is. It's all of these things that need to be thoroughly considered all along the way. And you can't just make a blanket statement. It says, you know, if you're in your fifth year of study, if you're in a 3-year degree in your fifth year of study, yes, you've got a problem. But if you are in your fifth year of study for something like medicine or law, or, you know, but we only have, you know, we only have one tool and it's very blunt. Yeah.
And if you only have a hammer, everything else, everything looks like a nail.
That's,
you know, that's the problem.
That's the
Brandon says, I've made it to IOL. Gareth Cliff slams Vitz protest calling for free education. I'm not paying. I don't give a shit whether you're educated or not. Brilliant journalism. Yeah, you see, again, misquote. I mean, I'm certainly not paying for other people's children. I'm not. I don't have any. No one's paying me extra back because I didn't have children to burden the system. So why should I pay for yours? I think that's true on every front, not just for education. You know, if you have a people carrying vehicle with 10 kids in it, I don't have to be happy about you taking up 3/4 of the road with your 10 children. It doesn't have to be something I praise and respect and love. I don't have to be a huge fan of that, do I? So don't expect me to get excited about that shit. And if you want me to then pay for them and I don't get a rebate because I didn't have children, I still have to throw in, and that money has to be distributed to all these kids who maybe don't have anything. And I mean, that's how countries work. So we know everything gets put in the pot and then it gets thrown out. You know, in this country, most of it gets stolen, but you get my point. So I don't have to love that though. And you're not going to make me love that. You're not going to make me go, oh, well, I can't wait for that. That's the best thing you could spend my money on. I could think of 100,000 things I'd rather spend money on than someone else's kids. Anyway.
Ricky says it took 12 years to complete his 7-year CA course. And are you proud of yourself, Ricky? Are you proud?
Yeah. Yeah. Congo Chris says, Pumi, I agree with you, but people aren't even showing up to the lectures. And then you see the same names on the student register year after year. Well,
look, and again, you see why I keep saying that the issue is systemic. It's all throughout the system. It's the entire value chain. Because if you're not showing up for lectures, you're obviously not going to pass. And if you haven't passed, how are you getting back on that register? You know, like somebody should be just the same as when you are in high school or primary school. When you haven't met the minimum requirement to move on to the next year, there is somebody having a conversation, a teacher having a conversation with the parents, or the teachers having conversations among themselves that say, is this child in the right environment? Are they learning what they need to be? And if on the second year, you're still not getting the concepts, you're still not consolidating the learning, the conversation that is had is maybe you're not a mainstream kid. Maybe you need to. Why is nobody having that conversation? If you're doing second year for the third year, why is nobody having a conversation that says, maybe you're not a mainstream kid. Maybe you should be in assisted learning.
There we go. All right. I don't think we're going to solve all of these problems, but I'm glad I asked you, Pumi, because you usually have a sensible approach to these things, as opposed to me, where I mouth off and then I get misquoted in every other publication. Or they quote me, but they quote me out of context, and it sounds like I'm the meanest person in the whole world. As you say, the outrage machine needs to be fed. So let's keep.
I do think that university, higher education is also the place where you build your character away from home and your parents, right? So the partying and the drinking is not so bad if it's not the only thing that you're doing. You should be partying. You should be, you know, out there exploring all the facets of who you are, because it's not, university is more than just the things you learn in the books. It's also the things you learn about yourself and managing your time and people around you and, you know, managing the pressure of, I'm not going to go to this party because I've got to write this exam tomorrow, or I can go to this party, but only for an hour. All of that. It's all important. It's all important.
Well, Dogos was saying university is a lot of fun. So much drinking and partying. So many life lessons. Yes, but I'm not paying for your kids to drink and have fun and learn life lessons. Sorry. I don't even mind if you can show me that they graduate and they become responsible people. But that's asking for a lot from my side, I suppose, because God forbid that I should actually want, you know, a percentage of our tax money spent on something that gives us a return. We started this conversation by talking about how, like, we just want the places that we live in and work in to work. That's all. So I think maybe we're just aiming a little bit too high here. All right. When we come back, it's the Burning Platform. Exciting stuff this morning. We're going to be rejoined for the first time in a long time by Ivo Fechter, who's written a blistering attack on Cyril Ramaphosa, which, of course, is going to sit very well with some people and not so well with others. We're interested to hear your opinions. You can get hold of us on 083-295-5769. You can also drop us a voice note or a comment in the comment section. Please like and subscribe. Otherwise, I get into trouble with the producers. So do that. Let's get onto it. It's all coming up in the Burning Platform next. CliffCentral.com.